Just want to share a few thoughts about that passage. Along the lines of whether God ever speaks to you. Now, I know most of us have not ever heard an audible voice. We probably haven't seen angels floating or glowing in the sky. And to be sure, this was a once in an eternity event. I'm not suggesting that on your drive home you'd be looking out for this particular thing. But as we work through this story, despite it being this once and forever event, I think there are some patterns to how God does communicate to us today. And I want to highlight, just kind of walking through it in order, six parts of how you might experience God speaking to you. And again, by that, I don't mean an audible voice, but a leading, a directing, a pointing you in a godly direction. So in verse 8, there were some shepherds out in the fields watching their flocks. And what I want to highlight about that is it wasn't a particularly holy place. It was holy because God showed up, but they weren't at the temple or the synagogue. They weren't in a special spiritual place. There are those kinds of things. I mean, we come to church and we expect to, you know, somehow encounter God here. Some of us may have special places. There's a camp in the mountains that I love because I've experienced God there before and I got engaged there. But what's so amazing about this story is they were just doing their work, right? And God showed up there in a very ordinary place, to be sure, in an unusual way, but in a very ordinary place. This tells me that you know, we don't have to go to the high holy hill or, you know, climb a mountain in Nepal to get to God. God comes to us in very ordinary and everyday places. In verse 9, there was I'll call it a holy interruption. An angel suddenly stood before them, right? And the glory of God shone. I don't know what that looked like, but they were afraid, so much so that the angel had to say, "Don't be afraid." But I also think about a scene in the Old Testament in 1 Kings where Elijah, the prophet, is up on a mountain to hear God speak. And it turns out a big almost tornado, hurricane goes by. And we read God wasn't in the hurricane. A fire of some sort breaks out. I think an earthquake. And then Elijah hears God in the gentle whisper. Sometimes it's called a still small voice, sometimes a gentle breeze. The point is that God doesn't always come with, you know, all the angels of heaven lined up and glowing and shining. Sometimes it's just a word in the dark, in the night, like that song we just heard. The question is, are you willing to have your life interrupted, whether it be in a big grab your attention way or the kind of still small way where you have to be paying attention and listening? That's what I latch onto in this story, is the shepherds, I mean, I guess they didn't have a choice in that circumstances, but for you and me, are we willing to listen, to pay attention, to say, God, are you speaking to me? Is there something you want me to know? In verses 10 and 11, the three parts of the message from the angel, I think, are still good. They're timeless, right? There's three things. They said, do not be afraid. I think that's something God still says to us. Maybe that's the thing that keeps us from hearing God or listening to God. We're afraid God's going to smite us, right? We're not good enough for God or whatever it may be, or we just don't want to encounter the holy. So often in the Bible, the first thing out of God's lips or the angel's lips to human beings is, don't be afraid. Right? God's not coming to terrorize us or to smite us or to crush us, but something much different. And that's the second part of the message. I have good news. I have good news for you. Christianity is a good news religion. Jesus brought good news of great joy, and that's what the angels announced that night. And God still comes to us with good news. That God loves us, that God is merciful and compassionate, God is full of justice and does what is right. Now, all that we talk about week in and week out is good news for us. And then the third part of the angel message was, Jesus is born, the Savior, the Lord. That's certainly timeless. It's why we keep coming back here to worship. God says, don't be afraid. I have good news for you. There is a Savior. There is a Lord, and his name is Jesus. In verses 12 through 14, oh man, this is the thing we want, right? A sign. Is God trying to tell me something? I just need a sign, right? Or a voice. Either one of those will do. Just write it across the sky, or let me hear the big boomy voice. And that's, in a sense, that's what the angels gave them. They said, this will be a sign. Go to Bethlehem, and here's what you're going to see when you get there. Right? And then, it was just one angel at that point. Then, this is, I guess, part two of the sign, all the angels appear. I mean, it's described as an army, right? The whole host of heaven appear. So if you needed verification, go here and you're going to see what I'm telling you you're going to see. And here's the big army, choir, angel, host thing. But look what's in the middle of that. When they get to this place, the sign that they've been given, they don't find a palace, they don't find a king or riches or a fully grown Messiah. They find this poor, simple family who's just given birth in a very humble place. That's how God, at least in my experience, most often works. We don't get the skywriting that says, Robert, go do this. Right? It's more of the gentle voice or nudging, and the thing is that God may want me to do is simple. It's not complicated, it's not grandiose. It's, hey, would you care for this neighbor? Would you forgive this person who has a grievance against you? Would you simply be kind? Would you help a stranger? Would you be a good neighbor? Those kinds of things. So despite the bigness of this scene, think about the simplicity of the baby in the manger, as that's the sign, right? The simplicity of God. And then, again, I don't expect any of us to see the angel host on the way home, but think about what that was. Yes, it was angels, and they were radiant or glowing or however you want to say that, but what were they doing? They were worshiping God. And that reminds me that I often have conversations with people that say, you know, I grew up in the church, or I had used to have faith, but I've kind of lost touch with God, and I just don't know how to get it back. And I invariably give them this advice, is find some place to worship, right? You don't have to have it all together. You don't even have to be in a worshipful mood yourself, but go where people who do have faith are gathering to give glory to God. Because that's that's like planting a seed in a fertile garden. Right, it's where you might expect to see God show up and to hear the message about God and to be encouraged by other people's faith. So I always encourage people to go to worship. That's what was going on with those angels. Yes, there was a spectacle, but what was really important about it was they were saying glory to God in the highest. They were worshiping, and the shepherds got to experience that and be encouraged by it. In verses 15 and 16... perhaps my favorite thing about the shepherds, they didn't just go back to work as usual. They said, let's go see. Let's go check it out. And if you read very much of Jesus' teaching at all, he gives that invitation frequently. He says to people, come and see. See what I'm about. See the miracles. Listen to the news about the kingdom of God. Hear me teach about the scriptures. Come and check it out. And that's just what the shepherds did. They went to see the baby and the family that the angels told them about. Jesus also said, seek and you will find. And that's encouraging to me. If you're someone who's interested in hearing from God or knowing God, God isn't hiding. Just take those two invitations. Both Jesus spoke. He said, come and see. And then he said, seek and you will find. God wants to be found. God isn't trying to obscure himself from us, but invites us to come check him out. And then at the end, verses 17 through 20, the shepherds found the family, Mary and Joseph, and the baby. And as they left, they shared with Mary and Joseph what the angels had said to them. So they were talking about the spiritual moment. And then as they left, they told everyone they saw about the whole experience. Right? They shared what they had seen and what they had heard. They had become worshipers. Right? They joined the in effect, joined the angels so that people that now met them could be encouraged in faith. That whole sequence, as supernatural and as extraordinary as it seems, it has in it the ordinary, everyday way in which God meets us, right? In humble circumstances, in regular places, like work or in our home, God interrupts, and are we willing to listen and to pay attention? So I want to remind you as we move on towards our candle lighting that God still moves and speaks. The Savior that was born in these stories is the Savior today. God loves you very much. So I wish you a merry and a blessed Christmas. Let me pray with you and then we'll move to the candle lighting. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we approach this day of giving and receiving gifts, as we remember Magi who brought gifts to the Christ child, we thank you for your simple gifts, your profound gifts of faith, hope, and love. Thank you for the gift of faith made possible out of your own steadfast promises, spoken to us through prophets, apostles, and angels, encountered in Jesus, Emmanuel, God made flesh, to us, and for us, that we might know hope, be changed, be redeemed. Thank you for the hope born out of your gift of faith, hope shining like a beacon amidst the shadows, blazing bright defiance of sin and death. And thank you for the gift of love, shown and given to us through faith, through hope, that we might love you, love others, be at peace, and offer peace. Faith, hope, and love. These are gifts we receive and gifts we give. We love you, thank you, and celebrate you this night, even as we await the dawning of the birthday of Jesus, born in the straw, born in love, born the light of the world. Amen.